as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing reading from the fifth canto, chapter 18. And today's text is 34. Yes, 34. We're back into long prose, and the first verse doesn't, 34 doesn't have any purport, so I'll just read the prose in the translation and go on to the next verse. Uttareshu chakurushu bhagavan yagya purushaha krita varaha rupa aste tang tu devi haisha bhusaha kurupir ashkalita bhakti yogeno padhavati imang cha paramam upanishad avartayati. Shukadeva Goswami said, "Dear King, the Supreme Lord in his boar incarnation, who accepts all sacrificial offerings, lives in the northern part of Jambudvip. There, in the tract of land known as Uttarakuruvarsha, Mother Earth and all the other inhabitants worship him with unfailing devotional service by repeatedly chanting the following Upanishad mantra." Brings us to the next verse. This is the mantra they chant. Om Namo Bhagavate Mantra Tattva Lingaya Yogya Kratave Maha Dwara Vayavaya Maha Purushaya Namaha Karma Shuklaya Tri Yugaya Namaste. And the synonyms are interesting and important because somehow Srila Prabhupada left out one of these points in his translation that we would like to touch on. So, Om, O Lord, Namaha, respectful obeisances, Bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mantra Tattva Lingaya, who is understood in truth by different mantras, Yagya, in the form of animal sacrifices, Kartave, and animal sacrifice, Mahadwara, great sacrifices, Abhayavaya, whose limbs and bodily parts, Mahapurushaya, unto the Supreme Person, Namaha, respectful obeisances. And this synonym got left out in the translation. Karma Shuklaya, who purifies the fruitive activities of the living entities. Very important point. Triyugaya, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full with six opulences, and who appears in three yugas, remaining concealed in the fourth yuga. Namaha, my respectful obeisances, te unto you. So Srila Prabhupada translates as follows. O Lord, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you as the gigantic person. Simply by chanting mantras, we shall be able to understand you fully. You are yagya, sacrifice, and you are the kratu, ritual. Therefore, all the ritualistic ceremonies of sacrifice are part of your transcendental body, and you are the only enjoyer of all sacrifices. Your form is composed of transcendental goodness. You are known as Tri Yuga, because in Kali Yuga you appeared as a concealed incarnation, and because you always fully possess the three pairs of opulences. So, short purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation for this age of Kali. As confirmed in many places throughout the Puranas, the Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Upanishads. The summary of his appearance is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 699 as follows. Kali Yuga Lilava Tara Na Kare Bhagavan Atayeva Tri Yuga Kari Kari Tara Nama. In this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, does not appear as a Lilavatar, an incarnation to display pastimes. Therefore, he's known as Tri Yuga. Unlike other incarnations, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in this age of Kali as a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, he is called a concealed incarnation, Chanavatar. Now, I'd like to just read that verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita also, since Prabhupada included it in his purport and has remained to the discussion. So this is Madhya 699, Madhya Lila chapter 6, text 99. Again, the verse, Kali Yuga Lila Vatara Na Kari Bhagavan Ataeva Tri Yuga Kari Kahi Tara Nam. In this age of Kali, there is no Leela avatar of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is known as Triyuga. That is one of his holy names. Purport. A Leela avatar is an incarnation of the Lord who performs a variety of activities without making any special endeavor. He always has one pastime after another, all full of transcendental pleasure. And these pastimes are fully controlled by the Supreme Person. The Supreme Person is totally independent of all others in these pastimes. While teaching Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that one cannot count the number of Leela avatars. Leela avatara Krishna na yaya ganana pradhana kariya kohi dig darshana. However, the Lord told Sanatana, I shall explain the chief Leela avatars. Matsya kurma raghunatha nishinga bhamana varahari leka yandra na yaya ganana. Thus the Lord's incarnations were enumerated, including Matsya, the fish incarnation, Kurma, the tortoise, Lord Ramachandra, Narasinghadeva, Vamanadeva, and Varaha, the boar incarnation. Thus there are innumerable Leela avatars, and all of these exhibit wonderful pastimes. Lord Varaha, the boar incarnation, lifted the entire planet Earth from the depths of the Garbhodak ocean. The tortoise incarnation, Lord Kurma, became a pivot for the emulsification of the whole sea. And Lord Narasinghadeva appeared as half-man, half-lion. These are some of the wonderful and uncommon features of Leela avatars. In his book, Lago Bhagavatamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami has enumerated the following 25 Leela avatars. Chatukshana, four Kumaras, Narada, Varaha, Matsya, Yogya, Narayanarayan, Kapila, Dattatreya, Hayashirsha, also known as Hayagriva, Hansa, Prishnigarbha, Rishabha, Prithu, Nrisingha, Kurma, Danvantari, Mohini, Vamana, Parashurama, Raghavendra, Vyasa, Balaram, Krishna, Buddha, and Kalki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not mentioned as a Leela avatar because he is an incarnation in disguise, Channa avatar. In this age of Kali, there are no Leela avatars, but there is an incarnation of the Lord manifested in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This has been explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyate Deshtarne Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guru and Vaisavakcha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tangsajivam Chadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vatangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhya Shakripa Sindhume Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittana Nashri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gorbhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So I'm sure many of you have heard of the celebrated physicist, British Richard Hawkins. Recently he was in the news having said that, in his opinion, and Prabhupada always made fun of them, you know, in my opinion, maybe, perhaps, anyway, in his opinion, there is a very good possibility that there are intelligent beings elsewhere in the universe. However, he cautioned, maybe we don't want to meet them. And he based his conclusion on the fact that human beings are supposedly intelligent and look at the mess they've made. So if other intelligent beings from other parts of the universe came here, they would make maybe even a bigger mess. So his speculation is correct. We would agree based on hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam and as coming down in the disciplic succession that there are highly intelligent beings in the universe, more intelligent than we are, than we can even imagine. And we're hearing about some of their activities here. They're engaged in devotional service. This mandanam, this offering of prayers, is one of the 9 angas or limbs of devotional service, of bhakti. So they're offering very beautiful prayers. Prabhupada advised us to pray also, but not necessarily to make up some concocted prayer, but to learn the standard prayers. Standard prayers offered by great devotees, sages. So here, we're hearing some of the prayers. Mother Earth, Mother Bhumi, and the inhabitants of what is the name of this Varsha? Uttara Kuru Varsha. Mother Earth and all inhabitants are worshipping Lord Varaha. So Lord Varaha has specifically mentioned this is where he resides, and he accepts worship from Mother Earth and these inhabitants. Krishna, as you know, expands into unlimited avatars, but here we heard from this purport in the Adi-lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and there are some of them that are more prominent. 25 are listed in this particular verse. We have heard of Dashavatars, so those are included in this list of 25. And generally speaking, Indriyari Vyakulam Lokam Murdayanti Yuge Yuge. Whenever the demons become too prominent, rising up to even challenge Indra, then the Lord appears in a particular incarnation to take care of the problem. In the Kali Yuga, especially here on this earth planet, there are no demons that are big enough to challenge Indra. So the Lord doesn't have to appear in one of these prominent types of incarnations, but he appears as Lord Chaitanya to kill the demoniac spirit that is prevalent in Kali Yuga. In the beginning, we had Hiranyakashipu Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha was so, you could say, anti-Mother Earth that he took all the gold out of Earth and did so many heavy things on the Earth planet that it lost its ability to remain in orbit and fell into the Garbhodak Ocean. And then Lord Varaha appeared to raise her from the ocean, and he was challenged by this Hiranyaksha. The Lord was never afraid, Krishna is never afraid of any demon, because he's more powerful, he's the most powerful being. And the devotees who take shelter of Krishna also become fearless. We heard recently about Prahlad, how fearless he was, because he was completely sheltered by the Lord. So by hearing these pastimes, we should gradually come to this position of fearlessness. We may not have direct experience of the Lord's power, potency, and the fact that the Lord is omnipresent. We may not experience that directly initially, as Prahlad did. Prahlad experienced that. So when we hear from Prahlad, then we can become more faithful and more determined to take shelter of the Supreme Lord and His great devotees. But the real point is that those who are possessed of this demonic spirit, they lose sight of the fact that they are themselves vulnerable. Hiranyakashipu knew this. That's why he tried to become immortal by a roundabout way. But he knew, as long as I'm mortal, then I'm vulnerable like everybody else. So he tried by meditation and austerity to become immortal. But the little demons in this age, they're not even aware of that fact. I always remember this one verse from this pastime of Lord Varaha. When Hiranyaksha was chasing him and insulting him, he said, Satyang vayam bho vana gochara mriga yusmar mriga mriga ye gramasingham namrityu pashaya partimuktasya virya vikattanam tavagrinantya badra. And Srila Prabhupada gives a very poetic translation. He says, indeed, we are creatures of the jungle, and we're searching after hunting dogs like you. One who's freed from the clutches of death has no fear from the loose talk in which you're indulging, because you're bound up by the laws of death. So this is the real point. Anybody who's bound up by the laws of death, they're just as vulnerable as we are, so why should we be afraid of them? You know, this killing business becomes prominent. I think Jarita was saying in his class how they've this military-industrial complex, they're just developing more and more weapons of mass destruction. We went to Iraq looking for WMDs, but we have them. There's no question. We don't have to look for them. They're here. Weapons of mass destruction. And so we always have to be fearful that, you know, these leaders who are, after all, just ordinary living beings, vulnerable, they can lose it, literally, and start using these weapons of mass destruction. That's why everybody's so afraid of North Korea, because they're being led by a certified madman. And you see what happened recently against South Korea. They sank one of their ships, and now there's, you know, higher tension in that region. So this is the real fear. One who's bound up by the laws of death, and is not even aware of it. They're so foolish. Instead, because if you're really aware of the fact that you're bound up by the laws of death, then you want to do something about it. Hiranyakashipu at least was intelligent enough to know, I'm bound up by the laws of death, so let me try to do something about it. Let me try to become immortal. The methodology was incorrect, but at least the idea was right. So we also have to be very, very aware of our vulnerable position and use that as impetus to make a solution. The real solution, as we know, is taking shelter of Krishna, becoming Krishna's devotee, re-manifesting that natural tendency to worship. Like here, the inhabitants of Uttarakura Varsha, they're praying. This is devotional service. This is the example. We have to constantly pray for the determination, for the sincerity to take to this path of bhakti yoga and stick to it. Then we will be protected. We'll be protected because Krishna, this is what Krishna is waiting for. There's one verse occurring in the, God, where is this verse? I think it's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna says, if somebody comes before me and prays for the courage to execute devotional service, then I immediately give him that courage. Lord Ramachandra says that. So, Krishna, in his original form and in all of his forms, he's just waiting for the living entities, the conditioned souls, to take shelter of him. To take shelter, and we need that shelter. To be protected from all these little demons that are running around in Kali Yuga. They simply create a disturbance. They make the whole, that's why it says, always disturb. Why are we always disturbed? Because the little demons, including ourselves at some point, are always disturbing each other. This is the business of the little demons, to always create a disturbance. Through noise, through their ugra karmic activities, even in the name of friendship, they're disturbance. They give out so much intoxication and like that. They don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. This is one of the symptoms of the demoniac mentality. Pravitam cha, nivritam cha, jananar vidur asura, na satyam napichasara, na shocham napichasara, na satyam teshu vidyate. They don't know what is to be done, what is not to be done. There's no cleanliness, no truthfulness. And this kind of mentality just creates a constant disturbance in society. So we have to be careful not to be part of the disturbing elements of society. We have to take wholeheartedly to this Krishna consciousness lifestyle, Krishna conscious lifestyle, so that we may become part of the solution. We may have something to offer to all the little demons running around. How to get rid of the disturbing elements in society. The government is baffled. We see what happens because there are no good leaders, not properly trained. It's not just a question of having desire. For any of the varnas, one may have a desire, an inclination, to be, say, a brahmana. But one needs to be trained. As Dravida was mentioning in his class, that he descended into nihilism. You know, he was inclined to be curious about why and how and all that, but without being guided by a pure Brahmana, one descends into these kinds of philosophies, voidism, nihilism, because that seems to be the obvious conclusion. It doesn't make any sense. The why doesn't get answered without the guidance of a proper Brahmana. So this is why Prabhupada said, I came to put a head back on society. A proper Brahmana, devotee Brahmana, can explain why we're here, what is the purpose of this universe, how to avoid the disturbing elements, how to eliminate the disturbing elements in society. These things can be explained by a pure devotee brahmana. So this is Srila Prabhupada's benediction to the denizens of Kali Yuga, to put a head back on society, not just an economic, not just to become a presented economic solution, which he did also, because the current economic path has gone kaput, as we could see. They're not leading us to prosperity, even materially, what to speak of, to the right spiritual conclusion. So Mother Earth and the residents of Jambudweep are offering this prayer to Lord Varahadev, and he becomes pleased by that. Just as he was pleased by the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, we can see here that she says, simply by chanting mantras, we shall be able to understand you fully. So the Bhagavatam and all the Vedic literatures are full of these mantras that are all potent. But in this age, there's a particular mantra that we are meant to recite wholeheartedly. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Kali Kali Rupa Nama, Krishna Avatar. This Hare Nama is the avatar of the age, actually. This chanting of Hare Krishna. And all potency is there in the name of Krishna. Because it's not different from Krishna himself. And if we wholeheartedly chant and induce as many people as possible to join us in chanting, then this disturbed age can become transformed, at least for some time, into Satyuga. Prabhupada said that once, that if we simply chant Hare Krishna mantra and follow these principles, then the age of Kali can be transformed into Satyuga, the golden age. Because people will become, again, respectful of each other, respectful of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The little demons are trying to convince us that there is no God, God is dead, all of us put together can become God. But this is not a fact. All of us put together just become a bigger problem. We see that. When you're off by yourself, maybe you can create little problems. But when you put a whole bunch of people together, then you get big problems. So this is not the solution. The solution is, as Mother Bhumi is saying here, chant mantras to be able to understand the Lord. So because the Hare Krishna mantra is not different than Krishna himself, then by chanting, trying to chant purely, going through the clearing stage and hopefully coming to the pure stage, that we can realize Krishna. And it is the only means of self-realization in the age of Kali, as we know. Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gataranyata. There is no other way, no other way, no other way in this age of Kali to become self-realized. In other words, to realize Krishna, because to become God-realized means to become self-realized. If you realize God, then immediately you realize yourself. One can, by speculation, Krishna mentions in his discourse with Uddhava, that by speculation one can come to Brahman realization, no higher. You can't realize the Paramatma by speculation. One has to take to an approved yogic process to be able to see the Lord in the heart. What to speak of the Supreme Manifestation, the Supreme Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not possible by speculation. So, we want to realize Krishna. If we want to have that ultimate realization, to see Krishna, then we have to take to the approved process of Bhakti Yoga. And this business of praying is one of the approved limbs of Bhakti Yoga. All ritualistic ceremonies of sacrifice are part of your transcendental body, and you are the only enjoyer of all sacrifices. So when we perform these sacrifices, just like we had in the Sringa Chaturdasi, there was a young man here, one of our bhaktas, doesn't come very frequently because he works, but he made a video of the sacrifice and the Abhishek, and he put it to the soundtrack of Prabhupada. There's an audio track of Prabhupada actually leading devotees during the Sringa Chaturdasi to chant the Sringa mantras. And that's what made me realize again that our mispronunciation did not come from Srila Prabhupada. A lot of us, we say Nisringha. There is no Shring, it's Singha. Singha means lion, Nuri means human. So you put it together again, Nisringha. But yet somehow or other we all come to this Nisringha conclusion. So it must have been because in the early days, very few of us had any extended association with Srila Prabhupada. So we heard things secondhand, third hand. And a lot of the devotees were not used to Sanskrit, so they mispronounced the majority of the words. So somewhere or other this Sringha became the standard in ISKCON. Everybody started saying Nisringha Dev, but it's not Sringha, it's Singha. So in this nice video, it's on YouTube, you can search for it, or I can maybe get the original from him and play it here one day. Very nicely done, the sacrifice and the Abhishek. And Prabhupada is leading the devotees. Namaste Narasinghaya. Like that, and all of the Nisringa mantras he's chanting. So very nice, if you can take the time to find it and look at it. So these sacrifices that we perform are meant for the satisfaction of Krishna, not for our satisfaction, not for our aggrandizement. Although we are meant to pray to the Lord for some benediction, that's there, that's approved, just like we pray that Lord Nrsingadev protect the Sankirtan mission, protect the book distribution, that's approved. That's not asking for some personal aggrandizement, that's asking for the Lord's mission to be fulfilled. Lord Chaitanya came in this Kali Yuga to spread the Sankirtan movement, to spread the chanting of Hare Krishna, and he wanted his followers to carry on in that vein. So we can pray for that. We can pray for the strength and the courage and for the Lord to remove the obstacles to the spreading of his holy name. That we can pray for. That's not a problem. And then the last point in this prayer is that you're known as Triyuga because you don't appear in an obvious way as a supreme person in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya as a Chan avatar. But he did display, if we look up here, he did display the fact that he is God. Here he's displaying his ultimate weapon, the chakra, to scare the hell out of Jagai and Madai, so they would become devotees. and so many other ways. He even displayed his form as Lord Varaha. Here in this verse we're talking about Lord Varaha, he displayed that form. When in the house of Murari Gupta, he displayed his form as Lord Varaha, and he picked up the water pot representing Mother Bhumi, the earth. And so many other times, he displayed the Chaturbhuja form. He displayed so many different forms, just so we can take courage and be absolutely sure that becoming a worshipper of Lord Chaitanya is not different than worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. He is the Supreme Person of Krishna. No difference. Therefore, he's avatari. He's not avatara. And therefore, he can manifest all the other avatars, Lord Varaha, Nrsingha, all of them. He displayed as many of them because he is the avatari, the source of all these avatars, not just an avatar himself. So there's a lot more we could say, but let's stop here in case there's any discussion, any questions. The first hand that went up was in the back there. Please get a microphone. For Jutta Karma Prabhu.
So on one hand it says there's no Leela avatars in Kali Yuga, but you read the purport from Chaitanya Charitamrita where Prabhupada says Rupa Goswami gives a list of Leela avatars and among them is Kalki, and Kalki appears in the Kali Yuga. So if Kalki's a Leela avatar and he appears in the Kali Yuga, then why does it say there's no Leela avatars in the Kali Yuga?
Because his Leela is not, how we say, the Leela avatars, usually when they appear, they, as Prabhupada says, they manifest one Leela after another. How did he put it? Go back to that purport. A Leela avatar is an incarnation of the Lord who performs a variety of activities without making any special endeavor. He always has one pastime after another, all full of transcendental pleasure, and these pastimes are fully controlled by the Supreme Person. So, Kalkidev does not appear in that mood. He appears just to end the Kali Yuga because the population has degenerated into these flesh-eating, cannibalistic, you know, totally ungodly population. And he just comes to put an end to it so that another golden age Satyayuga can start. He didn't come to perform the kind of pleasureful pastimes that the normal Leela avatar does for each age. For instance, Lord Ramachandra or any of these other Leela avatars. It's a different mood. So my understanding is that Lord Kalki is not counted as a normal Leela avatar because he doesn't come in that mood. He just comes specifically to end the age so that the next age can roll it. If you have some other explanation, maybe you can. Okay, I think next Amala Bhakta had his hand up.
Point regarding the same point about Leela avatar. My question is this. When Lord Krishna appeared on this earth, very few people knew he was the Supreme Lord. A few handfuls, Srila Prabhupada says. So in that sense, he was concealed. Very few knew this. When Lord Ramachandra appeared, almost nobody knew because he appeared like an ordinary person except under unusual circumstances when he was fighting the war against Ravana. And he was the ideal, what we call, quote-unquote, human being. And so in both of those, I'm just using two examples, in both of those cases, we have concealment. Hardly anybody knows, with the exception of a few, that they are the Supreme Lord. In other words, they are concealed. And when we come to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who, of course, appeared in the form as a devotee to show us how to become pure devotees, true and loving and sincere devotees, in the highest sense, he also was hardly known as the Supreme Lord. He was, as we said, concealed. And yet he did do pastimes. In fact, we say that everything that Lord Chaitanya did is a pastime. And he did do miracles, just as Ramachandra hardly did any, but Krishna, of course, did so many, and so many other incarnations did many miracles. So my question is, sorry I've been a little bit long-winded to lead up to it, my question is, why would we call Lord Chaitanya the concealed avatar when two other avatars, which I've just mentioned, were also, their greatness or their divinity was also concealed except to a very few people? In other words, why call it three when we actually have one who's also concealed?
Yeah, well, the concealment that you mentioned of Krishna, Lord Ramachandra, that was not intentional. He came directly, manifested himself. Lord Brahma prayed for his appearance, so it was already known even amongst the demigods, because normally Krishna says, Namevidu Surgana, that even the great demigods and sages don't know me in full. But at least they knew he was coming. And he told him to take birth in advance. So Krishna's appearance in this world was not at all concealed. It's only concealed to the envious and the demoniac. But amongst the devotee community, they knew. The demigods knew Krishna was coming. When he came, he did so many things to make it obvious that he was God. You know, appearing in the four-handed form in the prison house, and then everything he did after that, practically. You know, it was Kamsa. He sent so many demons, and Krishna just killed him nonchalantly. So you have to realize that this is not. But even then, still Lord Brahma became confused. So it's not so clear cut. Even when Krishna comes openly as himself, the demigods again become confused. Indra became confused. Lord Brahma, what to speak of the envious demons? So yeah, he wasn't trying to hide himself, but because of various things, either because of being covered over, like in the case of Lord Brahma, so he could have this Brahma Mahop Vimohana Leela, or in the case of being just too envious, like Kamsa and his cohorts, that's why he was concealed, because they didn't want to know that he was God. But he wasn't hiding the fact. Whereas in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he specifically came as a devotee. He himself wanted to be concealed. And when even the devotees approached him as the Lord, he said, no, why are you calling an ordinary person God? I'm just an ordinary man. So he was trying to be concealed. But in the other incarnations, like in the case of Lord Krishna, he was not trying to be concealed. He was concealed to the public, many people in the public, because they were envious. Or he himself directly covered over some of the demigods so that he could have pastime with them, like Lord Brahma. But he was not trying to be concealed. That concealment was, you could say, circumstantial. But in Lord Chaitanya's case, he wanted to be concealed. He did not want to be revealed as God. He wanted to come to show us how to be devotees of God. So he did not want to be known as God. To his intimate followers like Murari Gupta, he revealed. They already knew and he confirmed it to them. But to the public at large, he wanted to be concealed. He did not want to be known as God. It would disturb his mood. Because don't forget, one of the reasons he came was to taste what it's like to be a worshiper of Krishna, to be a servant of Krishna in the mood of Radharani. So he didn't want that mood disturbed by having people worshipping him as God. He came to be a devotee of God, to taste that rasa, that mellow. Whereas Krishna didn't come to taste the mellow of being a worshipper of himself. He came to manifest his original potency, his supreme potency. He wasn't trying to hide himself as being God.
But Lord Ramachandra, he just appeared like a great warrior. And he did very few miracles in terms of compared to Krishna, and compared to Lord Chaitanya as well.
Yeah, very few miracles, but again, he wasn't hiding his potency.
He was what?
Lord Ramachandra was not hiding his potency. Even in his youth, as you know, he was invited to come and rid the forest of so many demons. He wasn't hiding his potency. He went there, he did it. He didn't hide his potency. He may not be as open as, let's say, Krishna was, but at the same time, he was not hiding his potency. He didn't hide. You know, when Krishna comes in different incarnations, it's with different specific tasks to perform, and it's also a slightly different rasa. So the rasa of appearing as Lord Ramachandra is different from when he comes as Krishna in his original form. As we know, Sarvat Bhuta Chamatkara, Leela Kalolavarati, Atulya Madhura Prema, Mandita Priya Mandala. Chijagan Manasakar, Chi Murali Kala Kujita, Asamar Nurba Rupa Shri Vishmapita Charatara. So all the other incarnations display different activities, but only Krishna has these four particular qualities that he displays. That's mentioned at the end of the list of 64 qualities. So they're all expansions of Krishna, they're non-different than Krishna, but still Krishna reserves certain activities and interactions that only he himself performs. So Lord Ramachandra, again, he was not hiding, he showed his potency, but Lord Chaitanya in Kali Yuga, when he does appear, not every Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya is there, only when Krishna comes in the previous age. So when he comes, it's in a covered incarnation. He does not want to be seen as God, does not want to be addressed as God. He just wants to perform the Sankirtan movement and taste this rasa, this mellow of being a servant of God, and to show us that it's stop trying to be God. Just become a servant of God and you'll enjoy to the highest degree. So let's stop here. Rancharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.